This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, it's the 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap for Monday, August 13th, first day of school.
Actually, we call it a prodcast.
Prodcast.
That's an inside joke.
Ah.
Not a live guest, a prodcast.
I see what you did there.
There we go.
Let's see. Let's talk about waking up early. Now, if you're waking up, it is kind of hard when you, and it's like, this is going to be a bad day when you wake up like 15 minutes before your alarm's supposed to go off. Actually, that's a really good thing. It's healthy. According to sleep experts, they say that unless you're tired, groggy, or irritable, you have received enough sleep.
That's right.
So it doesn't really matter what time you need to feel that you should get up. It's your body saying, let's go, let's get it done.
We talked about it on Friday about kids getting on a regular schedule did better at school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's something about just maintaining that sleep pattern that's just better for your health and your well-being.
Yep, and that includes the weekend, so don't kind of splurge. They say the National Sleep Foundation said your best bet to experiment so you don't have to wake up to an alarm is to adjust your sleeping when you go to bed, like within 10 to 15 minutes, and adjust it accordingly, because anywhere you can, either from 7 to 10 hours of sleep is what you need for a healthy life. So we're drinking a lot.
That's one way to get to sleep.
That's very true. According to the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, they say that we are drinking a lot. They say that, and you should, to be a to keep yours, not be bad for you, to consume 2.1 gallons of alcohol or less per person per year.
That's the healthy amount.
Healthy amount.
Okay.
That equals to about 448 standard drinks per person per year.
448.
That's more than one a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they are saying that, they're saying that we're drinking even more than that, according to the information. Since between 2005 and 2006, the most recent information, we're up about a percentage point. It's about as much beer, wine, and liquor we've drinking since it was 1990.
What do we have to do to break the record, Chris? Records are made to be broken, my friend.
Challenge on the way here. They say beer consumption slightly down a little bit, but the big boost is in wine.
Uh-huh.
That's thanks to the millennials and spirits, which is reaching a 31-year high. If you go look online at the link we put up, it's fascinating because for liquor and spirits, the 60s was the time, so Mad Men was definitely correct.
Yeah.
Everybody drank.
Yeah. You're having a scotch at 10 o'clock in the morning in Mad Men. Yeah.
That's true. So good way to eliminate filler words when you speak, the words, is just to be silent.
Or maybe slow down just a little bit.
Take a nice little, make a happy little pause.
Yeah.
They say that linguistics experts say that basically when you're using those words, those filler words, you're actually trying to figure out what to say and how to approach it.
It's verbal tap dancing.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to describe
it. And some people also repeat what they've just said. Repeat what they've just said.
Well,
that's the same thing. They're just trying to think, what the heck now am I going to say? What the heck now am I going to say?
Well, they do say for public speakers, the best ones, you've noticed that they do pause up to 5 seconds at a time, and that just kind of makes people feel comfortable. It makes you come across as confident. Try that, and they say record yourself and listen and critique yourself. That's the best way
to
handle that.
Try to speak in complete sentences as opposed to paragraphs or parenthetical phrases.
Okay. Wrong.
All right. All right.
Let's talk about toxic coworkers. Oh, we know them. We love them so much. You know the ones you see walking down the hall, you abruptly turn around and try to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's really easy to get sucked into their vortex of negativity and making life miserable at work. So here's some tips from experts. They say what you should do is, pick your battles and don't get sucked into the emotional game. So what they're saying is, in essence, there's some things you should just let fall off, don't need comment. But if there are other things that really bug you, what you really should make sure that you're not doing is falling into the trap by letting people push your buttons.
Yeah, and what those people will do is they're highly manipulative, And these are people will try to like recruit you onto their side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's us against them, right? Right. You don't like that either, right?
Right.
Stay neutral. Be Switzerland.
There you go.
In the office.
Maintain a strategic and deliberate and calm approach, which means just basically kind of doing what we just said there. And I thought this was good. Develop allies in the office that can help you navigate the organizational politics. Look, you need someone to vent.
Correct.
Everybody needs that. It's not gossiping, but you need someone to vent to see, like, hey, should this go up to HR or should we go to our manager on this one? Or is this just, you know, really going to make things worse?
I mean, being polite goes a long way.
Yeah.
It really does. It's not, some people call it politically correct. No, it's being polite.
Yes.
Think about it that way.
It's just realizing that sometimes things change. That's all. And then they say take regular breaks because especially you have to watch your emotional energy. You know, you do that fight or flight thing later on in the day when you're tired, you're exhausted, or whatever. You're more, you might fall into the trap a little bit easier.
Your fuse might be a little shorter.
Yeah, we've talked about that where I go do things after work, like late in the day, mm-hmm. and I'm so tired and stressed out, I end up crying.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. That's where exercise to me comes into play.
I mean, yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah,
me
really
too.
Helps.
Bleeds that stress right off.
So, can eating poppy seeds actually make you fail a drug test?
It was always like a urban legend. Who knows?
Yeah, this was a shock.
Yeah, come to find out, there is some truth to it. And it all stems from this story that Newsweek had and a couple other places as well. But there was a woman who was delivering a child, and I guess through blood work, they found that she tested positive for opioids. And they kept her in the hospital for 5 days. Assigned a social worker, she was completely embarrassed.
But that was expensive.
Yeah. Come to find out, she told them she's more upset because the doctor didn't confront her first.
Right.
I don't know if that's policy or not, but she would have said, look, I just had a poppy seed bagel for breakfast this morning. That's probably it. And come to find out, it is true, because even the poppy seeds that come from opium and the ones that are used in culinary creations, basically all are encased in what are called opium milk. And it eventually dries away, but for sometimes there's little traces of it in regular poppy seeds that actually will trip your drug test and make you fail. They say if you do eat the poppy seeds and you're getting ready to like do a pre-employment drug test, probably best to wait at least 3 or 4 days before.
Let it get out of your system a little bit.
Out of your system before you do that drug test.
You can't tell them that. You know, I don't want to take it right now. I'd like to wait a couple of days.
Yeah.
if you don't mind. It reminds me, a friend of mine ate a bag of beet chips. You know, those beet chips, red chips.
Okay.
Next morning at the bathroom, she thought she was dying.
She
forgot that she ate the beet chips. A couple of doctor visits later, she finally realizes, oh, man, it was the beet chips, wasn't it? Yes, ma'am.
That reminds me of the time I thought I was having a heart attack when I was probably about 23 or 24.
Right.
Because my right arm was numb. Like, and I freaked myself out, and I went
thought you had angina?
And so I went to the hospital, and they did some tests, and everything was fine. And then finally the doctor said, by the way, if a heart attack happens, it's the left side of your
body. Oh, gosh.
Not the right.
Unless you're hooked up wrong. So it was your right arm. Okay.
Right. It was my right arm. Like,
oh, boy.
Okay. I feel like an idiot.
Okay.
That was an expensive trip. And then finally, let's talk about the braggers that love to brag. There is a way to, because some people look at it as a way to self-promote, and there is a way to do it without coming across as bragging. And it's basically backing up your facts.
Yeah.
So what they did is this researchers group took people and they had like what's called a self-promotional statement that came out that says, I am a better person to be friends with than others, or a self-equalizing statement is, I am as good as a person to be friends with others. And what they found was that people responded better to people who bragged that were accurate. So if you, like I said,
if it ain't bragging, if it's fact.
If you know LeBron James, you better know LeBron James bragging about it. Otherwise, you know, people like people that humble, that you make self-equating statements. So you can kind of do that by saying, I am just as good at this job as that person is, versus saying, I'm better at this job.
And I think we all realize, and we've met these kind of people, that if somebody who brags way too much, they can't do what they say they're going to do.
Uh-huh. No, never.
If you're really smart, you don't have to tell people you're smart.
That's
true. Loudest mouth is usually the liar.
Yes.
That one and the person who always does I call them the one-upper.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your story is.
Oh, my gosh.
Not, you know, it's not,
not even
good.
Listening to your story. They're thinking, oh, boy, I can't wait to tell my story.
Right. Anyway, so there's our show for today, Monday, August 3rd. Of course, we're on the air live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK.
ABC, ya.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.